and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation and refreshment in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, since I returned from my sabbatical, I made a big decision. I changed internet providers. Now, I have really powerful internet if you're in the same room with the device. Now, I live in an old brick house, and the internet signal does not pass through the walls. So, the further away you are from that little device, the weaker the signal. Go around a corner, it gets weaker. Close a door, it gets even weaker. I know you all understand this. You all use the internet. And perhaps some of you will relate to me as I need to go from room to room to get closer sometimes to have a better signal or a stronger signal. Why are you telling us this, Bill? Well, I want you to have that picture in mind. We're going to return to it. But right now, we're going to turn our attention to our second sermon in the book of Acts. Now, I mentioned last week that we're going to be in the book of Acts all the way through the season of Advent. But we're not strictly going to go through verse by verse. Today, we're going to continue on the theme of the Holy Spirit from last Sunday, when we focused on Jesus's promise to his followers in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He declared, "You will have power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Our emphasis today is going to be to answer the question, how do you get the Holy Spirit and his power? Now, if I were to stop and go around and ask each of you to answer that question individually, I guarantee we would hear a variety of answers of how one receives the Holy Spirit. Many books have been written on the subject, giving many different perspectives on how to receive the Holy Spirit. This is a really important question. I know that many of you feel the power of the Holy Spirit within you on a day-to-day basis, and you're convinced he's with you. I also know that many of you and many Christians either don't feel like they have the Holy Spirit's power in them, or at some point they did, but they no longer do. I hope to bring clarity to you this morning, because the power of the Holy Spirit is crucial to living a life of faith. It's also a prominent feature in the book of Acts. As we walk through Acts, you're going to see over and over again the Holy Spirit's activity in the lives of his followers and in the growth of the church. Our reading from Acts chapter 2 comes immediately after Jesus' promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Jesus promised that they would receive power, and on that day of Pentecost, they did. In chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus' followers are obeying his instructions. They're waiting in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, the room is filled with a mighty rushing wind. And what looks like tongues of fire descend on each of them. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit's presence. Now, when that happened, how was the Holy Spirit's power evidenced in them? What happened? They were speaking in tongues. That's right. They were speaking in languages that were foreign to them. Now, one might say that this passage explains how the Holy Spirit is received. If you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, a sound like a mighty rushing wind is going to fill the room. You're going to sense or see something like tongues of fire, and then you're going to speak in a language that's not your own. Now, if this was the only passage describing the Spirit's arrival, perhaps that argument would stand. But as we will see in the book of Acts, there are multiple episodes depicting the Spirit's arrival, and they're all different. In Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, on that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's reception was evidenced by speaking in tongues. In our reading today, if you want to, you can have it in front of you. It's on page 4 of your leaflet. The Pentecost crowd believes Peter's message about Jesus. And the crowd responds, "What should we do?" And Peter responds in verse 38. Peter says to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit." So we have an order here. They believe the message. They're told to repent and be baptized, and they will receive the Spirit. And in verse 41, we read about 3,000 people did just that. Having believed, they were baptized and they received the Spirit, but there's no mention here of them speaking in tongues. A little further in the book of Acts, chapter 19, Paul encounters some disciples. He's in another region outside of Jerusalem. And he encounters some disciples. They were disciples. They knew of Jesus, but they had only been baptized with John the Baptist's baptism for the forgiveness of sins. They had not been baptized in Jesus' name. And the Apostle Paul explained to them, John's complete message pointed to Jesus. They understood that they were to be baptized in Jesus' name, and Paul baptized them. And then in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, he laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So here, there's a laying on of hands. And in this case, the Spirit's arrival was evidenced by speaking in tongues and prophesying. So again, it's a little different. Then you have Acts chapter 8. This is where Philip is in Samaria, and he's proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and he's performing great miracles in Jesus' name. There are large crowds around him. In verse 12 of Acts chapter 8, we read, "When the crowd believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and about the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized." But again, there's no mention here of the Holy Spirit arriving. Well, until two verses later. We read that the church in Jerusalem hears about these new believers in Samaria. So they send Peter and John to travel there to pray for them. So how long did that take? Not sure. But when Peter and John arrive, they lay hands on them and pray, and they receive the Holy Spirit. But again, there's no mention of prophecy. There's no mention of speaking in tongues. And that example, it reminded me, or it made me wonder, why wasn't Philip's ministry enough? He baptized them in Jesus' name. Why didn't they receive the Holy Spirit then? Why did two others have to come and later lay hands on them? Again, these are all different circumstances. But in all of these episodes, we see a consistency: belief, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving of the Holy Spirit. Then you come to Acts chapter 10. That tells an entirely different story. Peter receives a divine message in a vision that he's to go and proclaim Jesus to a Roman centurion, a Gentile. And the Roman centurion received in the vision an image of an angel telling him, "Call for Peter." Well, Peter goes to this Gentile home. This is Cornelius. Jesus arrives, and he breaks the Jewish purity laws by entering the house. He does what he's not supposed to do, but he's obedient to what God's led him to do. In verse 43, we read that Peter proclaims, "Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And in verse 44, while Peter's still talking, he's still proclaiming the good news, the Holy Spirit fills the room. And all of the listeners are now speaking in other tongues and glorifying God. While Peter's still speaking. And then they're baptized. And now you may be thinking, now hold on a second, this is out of order. Yeah, exactly, it is. The differences in these episodes exposes them as descriptive. They're describing what happened as people believed in Jesus and as they received the Holy Spirit. They aren't prescriptive, giving a formula for the church for how to receive the Spirit. What we see in Acts is that there is no formula, no set way for receiving the Holy Spirit. The one consistency is that there's belief in Jesus, and then there's the receiving of the Spirit. And we find confirmation of this sense of belief first, then the Spirit received, in Paul's letters to the early church, with nothing else required. So here's, we may have some slides. Do we have slides? Okay, first slide. In Galatians 3, verse 2, Paul reminds the church in Galatia, did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? He reminds them the Spirit is received by belief, hearing with faith, not by anything that they do. To the church in Ephesus, Paul wrote, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Belief, and then the Spirit is received. To the church in Corinth, Paul writes, there are a variety of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So Paul makes it clear here that not everyone will speak in tongues, not everyone will prophesy. There are a variety of gifts that are received with the Spirit. Paul is clear, though, they're given to all, to each, to everyone who believes, but the gifts will vary. These scriptures affirm, therefore, that all receive the Spirit when they believe, by hearing with faith, and their experience when they receive the Holy Spirit is going to differ. Now, what that means for you is that all of you who believe in Jesus by hearing with faith, you have received the Holy Spirit. If you believe, you've received the Spirit. And you possess Jesus' gift of power in the Spirit, his gift of comfort, of peace, and of guidance, of spiritual power. Now, this is, again, I've mentioned this already, it's crucially important for us to know as his followers, and especially during this season at Redeemer. Salvation is not just a ticket to heaven when you die. I believe and I go to heaven when I die. That's incomplete. By your salvation, you've received power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, making you a member of his kingdom on earth, giving you a new kind of life. Your redemption restores you into right relationship with God, giving you a spiritual power that the world does not have. And by that Spirit's power in you, as the Holy Spirit lives in you, you will be his witnesses and on mission with him. And that's my message for today, that all of you who believe in Jesus have received the power of the Holy Spirit as Jesus promised. Now, I know that some of you walk in the power of the Spirit every day, and I know some of you have never felt that power, or perhaps you did. You felt it at one time in your life, but now you don't feel it anymore or not as strongly. Since my sabbatical ended, as I've shifted my own disciplines and my own priorities, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit more closely as I've drawn nearer to him. And this brings us to my opening story about my internet service. That's a good illustration for understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't believed in Jesus yet, I don't assume everybody's believed or those that are online. If you haven't believed in Jesus yet, then you have no power. You have no service. You're looking for a signal. You're just living and you're just doing your best. There is no Holy Spirit. But if you have faith in Jesus, you have the Spirit, period. But then there are things that can block His power in you. Just as the walls of my house interrupt the signal, weakening the internet. Remember, my internet is strongest if I'm closer to the little device. If you have lingering sin in your life, that will act as a barrier to your relationship with the Holy Spirit. If there is distance between you and the Spirit, or between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, whether because of priorities, whether because of distractions, whether because of whatever might be causing that separation, the farther away you are, the greater the barrier. Perhaps because of sin, or because of pain, or because of anger, you've closed the door of your heart. I can't trust you, Lord. That closed door will be a barrier. You'll only thrive as a disciple of Jesus, filled with the Spirit's power in you. I want you to hear that again. You will only thrive as a disciple of Jesus Christ with the Spirit's power in you as you live His new and fulfilling life. In your faith, you've received a gift of power that the world does not have. Why would anyone choose to be distant or separated from that power? Why would you choose to live and make decisions without the Holy Spirit's guidance if He lives in you? We as a church need the Spirit's power if we are to grow and thrive. We need the Spirit's guidance and peace as we pursue next steps for our future together, because life isn't guaranteed to be easy. In fact, we're guaranteed to experience trial and tribulation. We need the Holy Spirit to hear His voice and follow His direction. Now, I also acknowledge we will all experience seasons where the Spirit seems strong and other seasons where He seems distant or non-existent. At those times, we need a refreshing that can come through prayer, that can come through repentance, and that can come through moving closer to Him. Some of you, as you're listening, hunger for the Spirit's power today. I know that. Some of you are longing for His peace, for His comfort, and for His guidance. Today, I'm going to offer you an opportunity to receive a refreshing of the Spirit and His power. Or if today you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, perhaps this will be your first time trusting in Him, believing in Him, and receiving the Spirit. As we discussed, you believe and you receive. If you've already believed, you have the Spirit. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray with me. I'm going to give you the opportunity to remove any barriers and to move toward the Spirit that He might refresh you and restore His presence with you. I invite you now to get into a posture of prayer. Whether you sit or stand or kneel, get into a posture that's appropriate for you. I'm going to be quiet for a moment, and then as I pray, I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I am before You today, seeking a refreshing of Your presence and of Your power. I confess to You, Lord Jesus, any lingering sin in my life. I confess to you, Lord Jesus, the priorities that draw me away from my faith and my trust in you. I acknowledge, Lord Jesus, the distractions that separate me from you. Thank you for redeeming me through the cross. Thank you for forgiving my sin. And thank you for the new life I have in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by faith the Holy Spirit lives in me. Holy Spirit, I receive you today. Fill me with your peace. Refresh me with your presence. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, and I receive your power. Holy Spirit, refresh your people. Holy Spirit, fill your church. Fill all of the hearts that are open to you right now. Fill them to overflowing. And refresh your people. Amen. Now I invite you all to stand.